Well, tonight we're going to be looking at Romans again. It's going to be Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32. So Romans 1, 21 through 32. And what's kind of the premise here is Paul is pointing out the sins of the Gentiles here. And later on, as we read on, we'll see that he'll then point out the sins of the Jews. I want to read this for you. Again, it's Romans 1, 21 through 32. It says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men, and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them." Those last three verses are very, very disheartening. A man is in quite a bad situation when you're not with God, when you're not with God. And I was kind of thinking about that, and it took me back to creation. And God created the world in 6 days. And he noticed it wasn't just good, but it was very good. And then he formed man out of the dust of the earth. And he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And then he took man and he planted a garden in the east of Eden and put him in there. And he told him, "This is what you're going to tend to. You're going to take care of this garden. And you're going to work it for me." And then God told Adam that he could eat from any tree in the garden. You can eat from any tree, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from it, you will certainly die. So then God saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone. So he said, "I will make a helper for you." And so God formed out of the ground all the wild animals, all the birds in the air, and he brought them before Adam. And again, Adam named each and every one of these, which I think is just incredible. It's amazing. Yeah, I couldn't get past probably 50. I'd run out of words or names. But he did everything. He named them. Whatever he named them, that was their name. Which kind of goes to prove the whole evolution thing. Now, Adam was, he was thinking. He was responsible. He was able to take care of the garden. And there was language, so it wasn't like he was having to draw figures and all that. He was in God's image. He was a human being. But as they went through all that, they didn't find a suitable helper. So then God put Adam into a deep sleep, took a rib, and formed a woman out of that. Formed, and then he brought her before Adam, and Adam was just ecstatic. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and this is why a man is going to leave his family. He was just so impressed. This was the helpmate that he was looking for, that he needed. And we see that from that, they were both naked at that time, but they felt no shame. And so then what we see here is that they were created innocent. There was no sin. They didn't know what sin was. They were innocent. And so there was, you could say, perfection in the garden. And so with that, they were able to have fellowship with God, which is just incredible. They had that fellowship with God. And then as you get into chapter 3 of Genesis, you see that Satan enters the picture. And his goal is to try and separate man from God. And so what he does is he approaches the woman, and he tries to cast doubt on God's word. He's trying to cast a doubt. And then he asks her, did God say that you can't eat from any tree? And she corrects him. She knows. And she's like, oh, no. No, God didn't say we can't eat from any tree. It's just we can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then she adds to God's word, and she says, and we can't touch it. And so I think then Satan knew, I've got an in. I've got an in here. So then he showed... He ends up convincing her it's good to look at, it's good to touch, tastes very good, have some. And so she does. Her and Adam both eat of the fruit. When they eat of the fruit, all of a sudden their eyes are opened and they're looking around and things are different and they notice that they're naked. And so they're ashamed and they go and they find some fig leaves, they sew them together for coverings. And then Adam hears God walking through the garden. And he goes and he hides in the trees. He goes and he hides. And then God says, yeah, where are you? Where are you? And Adam comes out and he says, I'm here, Lord. He's like, I was scared because I was naked and I heard you coming. And God asks, who told you you were naked? And he's like, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat of? And at that time, you would think the relationship that they had together, that Adam might have just maybe fallen down to the ground or just very humbly said, you know, Lord, I messed up. Eve and I both ate of the fruit and we are so sorry. I know that you told me not to, but we did it. And we're ashamed of what we've done. And what can we do to try and make this better? I'm so sorry that I have sinned against you. I understand what I did was wrong. But he doesn't do that. He in a sense, pretty boldly says, the woman that you gave me. So again, he's saying, you have part of this, God. This is partly you. The woman that you gave me, she made me eat it. And that wasn't the case, but I was just thinking, like, wow. That's, here you are, you're with God, you know God. And again, sin is still sin. But his arrogance, I think, at least to me, it was just arrogant to say, no, it's because you put her here, that's what made me do it. In a sense, he's blaming God. And I think that just kind of shows, I mean, I've made mistakes, believe me, I've not only just in life, but at work. I built what we call cash wraps. I forgot to put a gate in it. And I remember the boss came out, it was almost done. He was looking around, he was looking at the prince, and he's looking around, he's like, where's the gate? What gate? There's supposed to be a gate here. How are they gonna get in? And it was like, oh my gosh, and it was all glass, you know? It was a mess. Lucky some guys came and we were able to talk about it and fix it, but boy, if I could have blamed somebody, I would have, but I couldn't. So it was just like, oh my gosh. But we were able to fix it. But still, it was still a mistake that I had to eat, in a sense, and then I was being watched after that because, you know, they kind of trusted me that, hey, he can do projects on his own, just give it to him, and here I go and kind of screw up. But that's, it's hard to admit when you do something wrong, and that part of Adam, and it just kind of goes back to that where it's not my fault, it's here. And I look at all these sins here, and these people are just lost without God. And I'll get into it a little later, but I see it almost every day as I drive the streets early in the morning. It's just very, very shameful. But it's, a lot of it's their choice. And so it says they knew God in chapter 24, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him. So we know, as we had said last week in the lesson, God has made it very clear, just through creation alone, that there is a God. There's a designer. These things just didn't happen. God made this happen. So they know, just through creation, that there is a higher power, that there is a God. And so that's what, that's about all they knew. They knew there's something there, because obviously the Gentiles, they didn't have the law. They didn't have that. But they knew that there was something bigger and something behind all of what the world is. And it says that they neither glorified him as God, and they didn't give him his rightful place. God has given us all talents and abilities to support ourselves and also to help others. And I think all of us know, I do, God has given us all individual gifts that we use to not only to help support us and our families, but also to help others in need. I was given a gift to be able to work with wood. I've been very blessed with that. I do it now just as it's relaxing to me. I don't have to bid anymore. There's no more deadlines. It's just very relaxing just to do stuff. But he's made us that way where people become self-sufficient, because you can do that. And they think, oh, I did this. Look at the money that I've acquired. Look at the cars I drive. Look at the house that I have. It's because of me. It's because of all the work that I've done and all the effort that I've put into it. This is what I have done. And they don't have God in that picture. And again, this brings me back to childhood. When I was 5 years old, I lived like 6 blocks from the school, and I was going to walk to kindergarten. So my dad had walked me there a couple times. We had to register, and then I think, the vaccinations. So I knew how to get to school, and I had to cross one busy street, and that was University Avenue. And so he showed me, well, you're going to go down to 35th Street where there's a light, and you're going to cross, and the school's right there. So first day of school comes, he's like, hey, I'm going to take you to school. Let's get ready to walk. And I said, you're not walking me to school. He says, oh, I'm going to walk with you to school. I'm going to get, no, I know where to go. I'm going to go by myself. You're not going to walk me. Well, you got to go the way I told you. Yes, I'll do that, Dad, but you're not going to walk me. Okay, well, then I'll see you after. So no, I'll walk home. I don't want you going. I was kind of a bad little kid. But so I walked to school. Went to school, came back home. I did exactly how I was supposed to, but I did it by myself. Well, years later, I found out my dad was following me. And he did it for the whole first week. He followed me, and then when school was out, he was watching to make sure. And that's how God is. I thought I was doing it by myself. But God is overseeing everything. He's in everybody's life. He's watching and he's doing that. And I thought, like I said, I thought I was doing it by myself, but I wasn't. My dad was there to make sure I crossed and I obeyed all the traffic lights and all that. So again, God is with all of us. And so it also says, nor give thanks to him. And again, we thank God so much. When you become a Christian, you really do realize not only just the forgiveness of sins, but everything that we have in life comes from God. The air that we breathe, everything. We pray before meals. Why? Because we're very, very blessed to be able to have these meals before us. And just to have all the utensils and everything just to prepare it. And so we give thanks to God several times a day. I know all of us do. I drive a bus and I do it all the time. There's a number of things that happen that you learn to watch out for. And I'm just so very thankful, like, Lord, thank you, you know, for giving me that sight where I could see something's going to happen. And so, again, and then when people come on the bus, I don't say, but I will pray. You can tell they're having a hard day. And before they went ticketless anymore, you used to print a pass on the bus at the fare box if they wanted a day pass. They'd put the money in. And that really opened my eyes when I first started driving, because people would buy two tickets, and I would always, and then they'd give me one. They'd say, if you see someone in need, give it to them. And I was just like, wow, you're kidding. So I would always try, while they were on the bus, I didn't know where they're getting off, try to give it to somebody so they could see that's who you help. A lot of times it was moms with young children, you know, little kids and stuff, or special needs children that would come on. And so I would be able to do that, and I would just see them kind of like smile. And it made me feel, but I was just really impressed, because it was like, wow, that is really generous of you. But we have to thank God for all that we have, and I know that we do, and we're very, very grateful. As we get older, I'm definitely learning health is a huge blessing to have. And so, yeah, we just thank God for everything that we have. And it says that their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And what it is without God, things are futile. They're senseless. They don't really matter. And their hearts were darkened because they don't have anything positive to look out at. It's just, what can I get? What can I do? And it's like I say, I see a lot of that, and it's just very dark. It's very disheartening. And they move into the darkness, living without God, and they're lost. And you literally can see that they are lost. And I know, Jesse, you probably had it at your store. So many people that come in that way. And it's just very, very disheartening. And then it says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And again, my wife and I were just talking about this on the way to church, because before we left our house, it rained pretty hard. It just all of a sudden rained really hard for about maybe five minutes. And I just kind of looked at it and said, was that a rain bomb? Mm-hmm. Because they're coming up with these new words, just like we have the atmospheric rivers and rain bombs and all that. They're trying to make it. And my wife's like, no, that's just rain. We call it heavy rain. But they're trying to do this with the climate change and everything else, trying to make it worse than what it is. And the theory of evolution, what we talked about kind of just a little bit last week, where man's trying to put God out of the picture of creation, and everything just comes together out of nothing. And yeah, it took a lot of time. If you do the genealogy through the Bible, the world's around 6,000 years old, somewhere in there, around 6,000. But if you go out into the secular world, it's 4.5 billion years. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, wow, you've taken God out of the picture, but now you've made time your God, because you need so much time to do that. But again, that's what we do. And so many things are proven wrong. And so then again, man has to change it. Just like it was in the 70s. I remember being taught in school, we were going to have to live underground because the world was freezing. And then all of a sudden, just not too long ago, the world's heating up. We got, what was it called? Global warming. And now the temperature started to come down, so then they called, well, we're just going to have climate change now. And, you know, I always look at it, yeah, you know, things are happening, temperature change, but God created the world. We have seasons, so the climate's going to change. Summer, it's going to be hot. Winter is going to be cold. Springtime, it starts to thaw. Fall, it starts to move towards the winter again. But this is all God's design. But man tries to get in, put his thing, and then you look foolish when you have to change everything. And so, again, that's just, that's man and his doing. And trying to take God, trying to push him out of the picture. And then it says, they exchanged the glory of the immortal gods for images made to look like mortals, human beings, birds, and animals. So again, that shows that they see that there is a higher power. So they make images, which God created, if they're made out of wood, if they're made out of, could be precious stones, it could be metal, it could be rock, whatever they're making these images out of, God has created that. And now they're making it to look like an animal, whether it's a bull or a calf or whatever it is, or even a human being. They make it, and that's what they are focusing on and saying that this is the God, this is what empowers me, instead of looking at, no, there is a God. It kind of reminded me of Corinth when Paul's walking around, just like, boy, you have gods for everything. And then all of a sudden he walks and says, what's this one? He says, well, this is for the unknown God. And that, I think, sparked Paul, like, ah, I know this God. The one that you don't know, I know him. Let me tell you about him. This is the one that you've been looking for. You've got hundreds of gods, but there's only one. And so, again, and that always kind of caught my mind with so many idols, so many gods. It's like, well, is there a head? If you had 12 gods, is there a head of the 12? Or do they only have certain areas? How does that work? But no, there's only one, as we know. And so again, man's lost sight of God. He's lost sight of God. So he tries to create something to help him focus. And again, the Gentiles, they could see, they knew something was there, as it says, just through creation, because God made it plain. That's why we see it, is because God made it plain. And then it says God gave them over. He says that three times, that God gave them over. And God allowed sin to run its course. And God has given them up to their idolatry and their gross perversion of immorality and their choices. So they turned away from God and started worshiping or putting their trust in these idols and things. And God is just, if you don't want to worship me, you don't want to listen to my commands and obey them, I'll let you go astray. And that's what happens. And then with all the homosexual practices and everything like that, that's sinful in God's eyes. It's detestable to him. It goes against his creation of man and woman. It goes against that whole thing. He created two genders. It was man and woman, and they were to procreate. And that's why God did it. And they were to come together in marriage as man and wife. And so again, it's happened before, but now our society are attacking all of that. And this was all God's design, even marriage. And they're just attacking it at all, trying to move God out of it. And we see where that's going for us as humans, not in the right direction. And so pretty much it's against God's demand, or I'm sorry, design. And then if you choose to believe the lie, God will allow you to do that. If you choose to believe that lie, God will let you do it. Again, he doesn't want you to, but he will let you do it. And like I say, those list of sins that we just read in those last three verses, it says that they knew, verse 32, although they knew God's righteous decree, that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. So again, they know that what they're doing is wrong. They know what they should be doing. And they blatantly turn their backs on God and say, no, I'm going to do it this way. And I think the reason is, part of the reason is because God is long-suffering. He wants everyone to come back to him. And so, just like with Adam and Eve in the garden, when they ate of the fruit, well, they didn't die immediately. They were still alive. And I think we get kind of comfortable with, well, I sinned here, and everything seems to be good. And so I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do it again. And it's just, it becomes a habit, and you've turned away from God, and you just continue to do it. And it wasn't because it was ignorance, but it was a self-willed choice that they made to sin. And we all do. It's a self-made choice that we do. And so that's the end of the lesson tonight. But I do extend the invitation that if anybody is outside of Christ, there is opportunity. We have that opportunity tonight to where you can become a Christian. And it's pretty much, you need to hear the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we would share that with anybody that has any questions about that. And then once you have that, you have to believe that Jesus lived, he died, and he was resurrected, and he did it for you, and he died for sins. And so once you believe that, then you need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Then you need to repent. You have to turn from your sin or your evil ways. You have to turn. And a lot of times when you realize what Jesus has done for you, a lot of times that's it can still be difficult, but it's, you have that mindset that you know what you're doing is wrong. And then after that, you need to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And after that, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then, like I say, God has given us all gifts. You will find out what your gift is in his body. And you will be able to work and serve the Lord and his people and reach the lost of the talents that he gives you. So if there's anything else we can do for you, if you need prayers or you're going through some hardships right now, just as we're singing the invitation song, you can come forward and make those needs available to us.